Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to the book of Galatians chapter 6 and 1 Timothy chapter 3. Galatians chapter 6 and 1 Timothy 3. Title of our sermon tonight is Grappling with Grief. Grappling with Grief. The title has two thoughts there, grappling and grief. Grappling means to grapple, to fight, to struggle, to wrestle, hand-to-hand combat. And in our spiritual warfare, that's exactly what we're doing. But then grief. Remember the comic Good Grief? Charlie Brown, yes. It's grief, sorrow, anguish, suffering, woe, distress, heartache, depression. And people battle with grief on a regular basis. But Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It is one of those verses that would do us well to highlight it and even memorize it. And it says in Galatians 6, 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, again we come thanking you for your blessings, for your mercy, your grace, your faithfulness, Lord, your long-suffering. We ask, Lord, now that you'd have your hand upon these that are here tonight. And Lord, we just ask that your will would be done. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Familiar words. Beginning at verse 1, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." This is a true saying. Reverend Matthew Jones writes in The Messenger, "Let's blame it on John Wayne, the stoic and steadfast icon of true American grit. His detached, steady hand approach to tackling problems taught a generation of Americans that displaying soft emotions was a sign of weakness. Unfortunately, when we fast forward to modern ministry, filled with countless tangible and intangible losses, sudden collision of ideals where grit meets grief," unquote. So question, is grief really a weakness? Is grief a weakness? As creatures created in the image of God, we can rest in the comfort that grief is natural, healthy, and a normal response to loss, and is therefore not a weakness. God installed emotional responses within each of us. Think about it. When we are scared, our hearts speed up so that we can fight or run. I always preferred to run. When something is funny, we laugh. So we have emotions. In a similar manner, when we reach the end of a meaningful relationship or relationships with something or someone, our hearts hurt or grieve over the loss. And the question is, loss, how does it affect us? How does it take, how does it take control of our hearts when something is lost? From the scriptures, we find that God was grieved with mankind and he sent a flood. He was grieved with Israel and at one time talked about destroying them all. Jesus was grieved with the Jews for rejecting him, and you may remember he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." And we are told not to grieve the Holy Spirit. So grief is something that is natural. You ever wonder how I come up with certain sermon titles and ideas? Maybe you don't wonder. I tell you what, next week some of you are going to preach and you're going to find out how you do it. Well, I was pondering Mike and Paula Ferris, longtime missionaries to South Africa. I was pondering about the fact that seemingly without warning, their ministry ended there. The government would not renew the necessary paperwork for them to stay. They were literally forced out of the country. They had to sell their house, their furniture, virtually everything. They arrived back in the States with a few suitcases, boxes, and a guitar. So I began to wonder, how are those in full-time ministry supposed to handle loss? Now, may I say this? We are not superheroes. I don't have a costume underneath my suit. We have feelings. We can be spiritually hurt, defeated, betrayed. For Demas hath forsaken me. We've all heard the saying, the straw that broke the camel's back. And of course, what that means is a camel can do so well to a point, and then there's that last piece of weight that breaks down the camel. I have a unique situation here with the Covenant Baptist Church. Other than about 3.5 years, this has been my church. And I have experienced, a lot of losses. Some of you who have been here a long time, you've experienced losses along with us. I think of deaths of Don Cochran and Diana Sitter and Robbie Boshears and Eugene and Lydia Weinberger and Bud and Fern Smith and Michael Ancliffe, my brother Bob. Last time I saw him alive was here at the church. I think of my mother and her loss and what it has meant to the church. I even think of my dad, and though he's not dead to the church, well, he's not who he was. I think about those who have moved away. Ben and Kathy Blazak, Don and Pat Sitter, Richard and Karen Ford, the Lees, the Taylors, the Mariks, the Rossberries, the Totes, the Gibsons, and I could go on and on and on. Those who have moved away. Losses. And they started when I was a kid. And I saw the effect it had on my parents, and I saw the effect it had on the church. Gone into ministry. Now, we don't think of that as a loss, but sometimes it is a loss for our church to have people like the Dahmans or the Jacksons, the Fosters, the Plennises, Greg Lee, etc., that have left our church and gone on. Losses. Issues. The building of the main auditorium. Now, you've seen the pictures of this auditorium where it's full right to the back wall. And they built the next building. Do you know we lost people because we built the building next door? They left. They said they'd gone through a building program. They didn't want to go through another. I remember my dad telling me of the deacon that came in one Sunday afternoon and put the key to the church on the desk. And he said, "Brother Madonna, we're leaving." He says, "I don't want to leave." But he says, "You don't have to live with her." Now, some of you can figure out what he meant by "you don't have to live with her." In 1973, this church lost 30 families in a split. 30 families. Can you imagine what that was like for my dad, for my mother, for me? It was hard. I could start naming you family after family that left. 2002, we lost another 11 families. And through the years, families that have left, many for seemingly no legitimate reason. Now, I tell you what, the losses add up and they hurt. I suffered losses as a child, not understanding why my friends were no longer coming to our church. I've seen people move away for one reason or another. Some convicted of sin. Others blame the pastor. Most people leave the church to stay in the area because of the pastor. And that's kind of a hard thing. But there are myths. You ever think about myths? Myths. Myth number one, don't feel bad, pastor. Don't cry. Just don't think about what you've lost. You think that's a possibility? Every time I come in the church, I remember. Myth number two, you'll feel better in time. I mean, after all, you'll recover from grief like you do from a cold. A little bit day by day until it's all gone. Let me tell you that that is not true. That's not true. Myth number three, just stay busy and you'll feel better. My dad told me that when that 1973 time came and went, there'd be days he would get here. Now, my dad doesn't show emotion very much. He said there'd be days he'd get here and he'd get in the car and he'd drive to Toledo. He said, "Well, why?" "Just to be out of the building." He said he'd drive to Port Huron and just watch the river pass by. Just stay busy. Myth number four, you need to replace what you lost with something or someone else. Like that's really easy. It's hard. Myth number five, ministers are resilient. They can get over or adapt to anything. Embracing any or all of these myths will potentially put you face to face with an emotionally exhausted, spiritually obstinate and calloused, physically despondent, and socially incompetent minister. Would you like me to read that again? Embracing any or all of these myths will potentially put you face to face with an emotionally exhausted, spiritually obstinate and calloused, physically despondent, and socially incompetent minister. And there are times that I feel just that way. That's why I take Mondays off. Most pastors resign on Monday. I take the day off. So the question is, how does one help ministers with the heavy weight of grief and loss that comes from a lifetime of tangible and intangible losses? What does it take to grieve well? So I read these thoughts the other day, which I wish to share with you tonight. Number one, encourage your minister to recognize and name their specific losses. Do you remember the story in 1 Samuel chapter 30 when David and his men came back to Ziklag and the Amalekites had taken all the women and children away? And in 1 Samuel 30, verse 4, it says, "Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep." This is a natural, healthy response to losing something you love. Number two, encourage your minister to take the time to mourn their losses. Since the March shutdown and closing of things, Brother Farmer has died. And that was hard. Robert Stafford died. That was hard. Ethel Sasta died. And that was hard. We find that losses come. Mourning takes up our feelings and turns them into actions, but sometimes we are not sure what actions. Bottled up emotions leads to anger, frustration, bitterness, depression. Number four, the author says, and listen carefully. Wait a minute, we're not to four. We haven't got to three yet. I'm still on two. Yes, but listen carefully. Something does not have to be gone to be lost. They can be sitting in the room, and you know that they are lost to you and your ministry. Sometimes that can happen even in your church. They haven't left. They still sit in the auditorium. They just are no longer listening to what you have to say. It's why the professional baseball team gets a new coach. It's why the professional basketball team and football team and hockey team get new coaches. The players stop listening. And sometimes it's necessary. Number three, encourage your minister to accept their losses. Unfortunately, this can sometimes only come when moving on. Memories, actions, walking through the building and thinking about the past can cause a minister to rehash the past, causing regrets, remorse, sorrow, and of course, grief. And I've walked the halls of this building for years. They bring back memories. As I look at certain things, it reminds me of people. Loss. Number four, encourage your minister to come to closure and start moving forward. You ever been stuck in the mud? Your car doesn't want to go anywhere. That can be difficult, right? Now, I must admit, since we started going to front-wheel drive cars, I don't remember the last time I've been stuck in the snow. But some of you remember being stuck in the snow and your tires are spinning and you're not going anywhere. You think a pastor ever feels that way? That the wheels are spinning, there is action, but nothing is being accomplished. It's hard. Often a new norm is necessary. I've heard that said a number of times, that we're going to have a new norm in our society. You know, the schools are supposed to start up in September. Things aren't going to be the same as they once were. Has the basketball season started? Not yet. I see a one yes and one no. No fans. Things are going to be different, right? Baseball season. This coronavirus has many pastors bewildered and anxious. Will we ever see, fill in the blank, in church again? I've talked to a number of our older ladies. Sometimes the hardest thing in our older ladies is their daughters, because they say, don't go back. You don't know. And I don't know. I mean, you think about some of our older ladies, if we'll ever see them again in church. Lack of church attendance, and folks' excuses abound. In conclusion, grief is good, but the grind of unresolved grief is unbearable. It's unbearable. Encourage your minister to name the losses, mourn the losses, accept the losses. Take your Bibles back to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. And it's good to remind your minister of Galatians 6, 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings. Lord, we pray for encouragement. We ask, Lord, that your will be done. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.